Blackwell, Mr. McKinley.
May it please the court, good morning. I'm James McKinley with the Federal Defender's Office in Indianapolis. I represent Mr. Peyton Blackwell, who, as you know, was arrested outside his home on an open misdemeanor warrant. It was a cold night in January, and when he was confronted by law enforcement officers, he put his hands up, he surrendered without incident, and I suppose had they just put him in the police car and taken him to the Marion County Jail, we wouldn't be here, but that's not the way events unfolded. As you may recall, he was handcuffed and detained outside the house when a law enforcement officer observed a person pop his head out the door and then disappear back inside. The officer approached the door, smelled marijuana emanating from what turned out to be an office in the house, went into the house, removed the individual, brought him outside, but not before he observed marijuana in plain view in the office.
Well, how far was he from the house when he smelled the marijuana?
That's not clear from the record, Your Honor. I believe he was comparatively close to the door, is the best of my recollection.
Actually, he was probably checking the guy whose head was popping out, if I recall.
I'm sorry, Your Honor?
He was checking to see where the fellow whose head popped out had gone.
Yes, that's correct. That's the door that he approached.
Yeah, yeah.
And there's some question.
So he went right up to the door.
There's a question whether the door was open or not, but in any event, he walked inside.
Yeah.
And we maintain, I mean, our position is simply this. When he stepped across the threshold of that door, he violated my client's Fourth Amendment right to privacy in the home.
What difference does this make, since no marijuana was used in the prosecution?
Well, the difference, Your Honor, is that the marijuana that was found and used to confront my client prompted a sequence of events that culminated in my client's written consent to search.
Yeah, but the alternative sequence leads to the same evidence, as you essentially conceded when you stood up. That is, had they never entered the place, one of two things is going to happen. They're going to ask him for a consent, which he will either give or refuse. And if he refuses it, they're going to get a warrant. They're going to search the house. The guns are going to turn up. And everything will happen just exactly as it happened.
Well, Your Honor, at the time that they arrested my client on the outstanding warrant, there was no reason whatsoever to go into the house. There was no probable cause. There was no basis to obtain a warrant at that point. It was only after my client was brought back into the house and confronted with the marijuana that had been found in his house and subjected to this custodial arrangement, which was admittedly a lawful custodial arrangement, but still there's something inherently coercive about custody.
Is there something, you can't think of anything wrong with the police officer going up to see about whose head popped out and where he was, can you? If the police officer sees somebody, poke his head out and go back in, investigation of the circumstances surrounding that would not be inappropriate, would it?
No. In fact, had he knocked on the door invited the person out,
that would be okay. But when he went up there and he smelled the marijuana, that gives rise to what Judge Easterbrook just pointed out. You're going to get a warrant anyway.
Right. It would have been sufficient to obtain a warrant.
Right. So it comes out the same way no matter how you slice it.
All of which would have taken time, but that's not the way it happened. That's not what transpired here.
But
rather than go through those steps.
They didn't have to because they got consent.
Well, they didn't get consent, Your Honor, until more than an hour later.
Mm-hmm.
You'll recall after the law enforcement officer entered the office, saw mm-hmm. the marijuana, he called for narcotics detectives, mm-hmm. which took a half hour to get there. In the meantime, there were a couple of other people who had emerged from the house in addition to the one that was brought out. These were friends of my client's, his pregnant girlfriend. They were all detained there. They were, upon arrival of the narcotics officers, they were all, my client was taken back to the office. Mm. The other people were taken into another part of the house.
But you're not suggesting it's improper for the officer just to have walked toward the door without walking inside?
to you?
I'm sorry, Your Honor. You're dealing with a hearing impaired lawyer.
Was there anything wrong with the officer walking up to the door? Was that wrong?
No.
And that's when he smelled the marijuana.
Correct.
So what Judges Bauer and Easterbrook are saying, well, then they would have gotten a warrant, would have searched the house and found the guns.
Yes, if a judge would have issued a warrant and, of course that's...
Well, if you smell marijuana, it's illegal and so on. Why isn't that enough for a warrant?
It probably would have been.
Right. So then, as they say, the guns would have been found, right?
A lot of things could have happened. A lot of events could have transpired between
the
time.
That's
true in all these inevitable discovery cases, right?
They didn't have to go for a warrant. He had consented to the search. That obviated the need.
Yes, but the issue then is, assuming that we've got a Fourth Amendment violation here, the issue is the voluntariness of the consent and whether that consent was tainted by...
Somebody going up the porch and smelling marijuana. That's the taint. We've already decided that's okay.
The taint is this, Your Honor. They went into the house, they discovered the marijuana, they took my client back there to the office, confronted him with that marijuana, coupled with the fact that all of his friends are detained. He has no knowledge as to what...
Do you think it was inappropriate for the police officers to go in to find out whether whoever was in the popping in and out of the door might be in a position to assault them with a weapon? Or would that be inappropriate for them to go check and make sure that they're safe?
It would be inappropriate for them to enter.
Even if they thought they were being threatened?
I'm sorry?
Even if they thought they were being threatened.
Well, there was no identifiable facts here to suggest that anyone inside was, posed any type of a threat to these officers. The simple fact is a person had poked their head out the door, which is not unusual under the circumstances for somebody to want to know what's going on.
Coupled of course, if anyone wants to know what's going on, you don't poke your head out the door. You walk out the door and say, what's going on?
Well, to...
When you go back into the house...
To accept that as a sufficient basis to walk into the house, I think would be...
You smell marijuana. You go up to the door. You smell marijuana. You see somebody popping in. You don't think it's appropriate to go in and ask them?
I don't think marijuana, Your Honor, can be necessarily indicative of somebody posing a danger. Is somebody...
Oh, really?
Breaking the law.
You don't think that guns and drugs are related, huh?
There's no indication at this point, Your Honor, in the sequence of events that there's...
You're a police officer, and you don't think guns and have anything to do with drugs, or drug use and gun use are totally separate.
Of course, we see it all the time, Your Honor.
That's what I mean.
But one isn't naturally...
It doesn't have to be absolute, but you can certainly strong suspicion that there might be guns.
Well, again, Your Honor, our position is quite simply that...
I understand
the
your position.
Smell of marijuana.
When did Blackwell admit?
Coupled with the fact that somebody peered out is not sufficient.
When did Blackwell admit that there were guns in the house?
Your Honor, he did admit that there was a gun in the house, but again, this was after the original intrusion. An agent peered his head in, saw a long gun, came back, asked my client if there were any guns in the house. The question I maintain would have never been asked had there not been the original Fourth Amendment.
I gather it was independent then of the dispute about when and under what circumstances the marijuana was discovered.
Well, Your Honor, this is, it is totally...
Of course, once he admits having guns in the house, then, completely independent of all this marijuana stuff.
Well, yes, right. But again...
Search warrant is inevitable.
The question was posed to my client, again, was a product of... the illegal intrusion in the first place.
You get the point that we're asking, which is, who cares? It was the point with which you began. All this is going to come out anyway. And it looks like it comes out anyway completely independent of anything about marijuana.
I don't think you can conclude that based on this record, Your Honor, that this is necessarily going to be... that discovery of those guns was going to be inevitable under the circumstances. Whether a judge would have granted a search warrant whether there had been some other disposition of the evidence in the house during the that interim period.
Have you ever met a judge who would say, after the police officer brings in the affidavit saying, A, I saw a gun in the office, B, the defendant, a convicted felon, admitted having multiple guns in the house, I would like a warrant to search the house for guns. Ever heard of a judge who would then deny that that was probable cause to issue a warrant?
I have not, Your Honor, but hope springs eternal.
I thought your argument was that he didn't see the gun until he entered. Did you see the gun through the window?
No, there was no...
That's your argument. The entry was improper, and so what he saw couldn't be used to extract consent. Isn't that your argument?
Yeah, everything that was observed once they were inside that house is a product of the violation itself, Your Honor.
But if the smell, but you said smelling the marijuana, that wasn't improper, and if that would have led to issuance of a warrant, what I find troublesome is your suggestion that, which would drive a stake into the inevitable discovery doctrine, that the delay involved in getting a warrant might result in change of circumstances. Maybe the people in the house, while the police are getting a warrant, they gather up the guns and hide them somewhere, throw them out. I don't think that's the sort of argument that upsets an inevitable discovery defense, does it? I've never seen that suggestion.
No, Your Honor, but we don't know that evidence would have been inevitably discovered.
Mm. Well, you never know it, but on the other hand, they would have had... I mean, because, you see, the problem is they smell the marijuana, but they also have his head popping in and out, which is, you know, very minor, obviously. But you put that together with the smell of the marijuana, and they've arrested, you know, a fellow for something else. Makes sense for them to go get a warrant. It would be issued, and then they'd find the guns.
Yes, but not necessarily. We've got
It's never necessary. That's why you really challenge. I think you're challenging the inevitable discovery doctrine, since it's never really inevitable. It always requires choices by the police, and what would they have done, and so on.
There could be
that
a question
doesn't
of
bother
whether,
people.
There,
right?
There could be a question of whether they would even bother seeking a warrant based on just smelling some marijuana. These guys are out on a warrant sweep. They've got an assignment. What they're going to do is impossible to determine. And looking back, there's no way of knowing whether this would have been discovered or not.
Okay.
I see my time has concluded.
Thank you, Mr. McKellar.
I thank you, Your Honor.
Mr. Morrison?
You can talk us out of something if you really work at it.
Pardon me?
I find the protective sweep argument, your argument and the judge's finding, pretty thin. The police officer didn't draw his gun or anything when he barged into the house, right?
That's correct.
There wasn't any actual concern about these people.
I would disagree with that. I would think that...
If you were concerned, if you think there's someone in the house going to shoot you, you don't get just walking into the house like that with your gun, you know, fastened in its holster. That's ridiculous.
Well, you're going to pursue the individual...
I don't understand you. The idea of a protective sweep is to protect.
Correct.
Now, what kind of rational self-protection is it to follow someone into a house just by yourself, one policeman, without his gun drawn or they have a flap right over the holster, which apparently didn't unfasten. That's dumb, right? How do you protect yourself in that way?
This is not something that occurred over a period of minutes, but over seconds.
Were these plainclothes officers?
Some of them were plain clothes, some of them were in uniform.
The particular man who walked up was
in uniform. And the one who actually entered inside the home, he was standing outside the home. There's no lights on the house except that one area. So it appears as if the only person that's visible is the defendant, Mr. Blackwell. They secure Mr. Blackwell, and at that point they see the head come out the door and go back in. This office is to the side of the building, the side of the home. It's attached to the home. It was the only one that had any lights on in it. And that officer then takes a step inside and accosts the individual who is heading back into the house and says, stop. And he just moves him to the outside. At that point, he didn't see anything in his hands, but he didn't know where he was going or what he was going to do, and he wanted to secure that area. As it happened, two other individuals came out of that dark house, not as a result of any police search, but as a result of them walking out at some point later.
I don't understand. The policeman went into the house, didn't he?
He went into the room. The room that was attached to the house.
Into the room, into the house. The room is part of the house.
Part of the house.
Right. So he went into the house.
He went into the house, correct.
Yeah.
Well, if you...
Well, he obviously wasn't worried about his personal safety.
He told the district judge that he was.
What sense does it make? If you're worried about your personal safety, you don't walk into a dark room.
That room wasn't dark. Right.
If you're worried about your personal safety... emanating from within a house. You're worried about there are people in the house who might be threatening you. You don't go barging in. How does that protect you?
It protects you in that it
endangers you, right? That puts you closer to the menace.
Not if that menace is headed towards securing something that could really be a menace. At that point, he's moving back in. He's not coming at the officer. The officer...
No, when the officer entered the house, this fellow has popped his head out and then in. He's inside, right? He's all inside the room, right?
He is inside the...
He's entirely inside the room.
Correct.
So the officer has to go into the room, right?
By taking a step through the open door, yes.
And how is he how is he protecting himself by doing that?
What he sees...
In fact, why has he gone up to the door if he's worried about danger? Why is he going closer to the house if he thinks there are people in there who are going to shoot him?
He is, like, right next to the house. I mean, very close to the house. There's really no space for him. This is not a very large area. We're talking about a matter of steps, not yards. He sees the individual out the doorway. He steps inside the doorway. The individual is moving back into the house proper. In fact, a reading of Maryland versus Bowie, which is the seminal case on these kinds of searches, indicates that there's really no apparent reason whatsoever that one, if they're inside a house, can search in closets and spaces immediately adjacent to the place of arrest in order to secure themselves. There need not be any reason to open a closet door if that's a place where an attack could be launched. You need not be in fear. That is something that police are permitted to do in the areas immediately adjacent to the room. Now, Maryland versus Bowie was a case that involved an internal inside the house arrest. That's where the site of the arrest was. This is an external site of the arrest.
Well, that sort of weakens your case.
It weakens the case to the extent that it's not fully fledged on the grounds of Maryland versus Bowie, but as other courts cited, as other cases cited in the brief indicate, the courts have been willing to extend this to arrests which occur just outside the doorway of a house. And in fact, there's no logical reason at all to say, okay, when you're inside the house, you get to go in a closet.
Of course there is, because if you're inside the house, you're potentially endangered by people in the house, including people hiding in closets. If you're outside the house, why didn't they just remove this fellow, you know, whisk him away, and then they'd be completely safe?
Your Honor, you would be just as vulnerable standing outside the door.
Why are they standing outside? Why didn't they put him in their car, the fellow that arrested, and drive him away?
That is a process, that's ongoing, and that they're moving
him. What do you mean process is ongoing? They arrested him. Why didn't they put him in the car and take him away? Why are they standing around out there?
In fact, it's occurring almost simultaneously. They have him handcuffed. They start the movie. They say the man come out the door. I mean, it's bang, bang, bang.
The answer is they made a decision on the spot that's different than the position taken by Judge Posner. But your position has to be they're entitled to do that.
And one person made that decision. Yeah. The only officer that saw the individual go back into the room.
So how much time elapsed between when they arrested Blackwell and this officer entered the room?
It would probably be measured in seconds.
What do you mean, probably? Is there a finding?
There's no finding exactly how much time elapsed, but it was quickly, because they were moving him towards the front of the house at the time that they saw the individual come outside the house. It's our contention, the government's contention, that this is, in fact, a within the permissible lines of Maryland versus Bowie, although it is not on all fours with it, because it was just inside the house. This was not a protective sweep, which has been prescribed through Maryland v. Bowie when you go through the entire house. There was only one room entered, and the police did not venture further into that house to secure any other kinds of areas. Furthermore, if the court should find that this search was unlawful and inappropriate, the government maintains that through the attenuation doctrine, the evidence is still admissible because, as the district court found, there was a sufficient time passed. There were some intervening circumstances, particularly the interview with the defendant's girlfriend, who indicated that there was firearms in the home, and the extent of the...
Why is this person who popped his head out the window, or the door, rather, why is this described as furtive? What is furtive about this?
Furtive, I would... The definition of it is stealthily moving one's head out, moving one's back in.
Secretly. Remember, you're speaking to an English major from Yale, so be careful.
I will be careful, Your Honor. That is the word, Your Honor, that the district court chose.
I know, we're used incessantly. I just wondered what it meant.
Meant he looked pretty sneaky, you know.
I suppose instead of moving out into the open, it's moving back into the dark.
Like that.
Thank you, Your Honor.
That's furtive.
Okay, thank you very much, Mr. Morris. Mr. McKinley, your time has expired, but you can have a minute if you'd like.
No, I'm not expired. The court has no further questions.
Okay, well, thank you very much. And you were appointed, were you not? Well, you're a defender.
Public, right? Public defender.
You're a public defender. Okay, well, we thank...
You're a public defender, he said.
Well, we thank the defenders for...
Public defenders are very nice people. Thank you very much.
All right. Next case for argument is...